the cleaner. Translation: Sri Kalindi said, "The Lord knew I was performing severe austerities and penances with the hope of one day touching his lotus feet. So he came to me in the company of his friend and took my hand in marriage. Now I'm engaged as a sweeper in his palace." Text 12. Somebody want to give a tune? Can you give a tune to this? Harper, I know, give me a tune. That one? Okay. Sri Mitravindu Vacha. Yo mam sayambara upecha vichicha bhupam. Minye swayutagam ivatma balim dvipari. Bratrim chame bukurtak swapuram shri yokas. Tasyastu me nu bhavam angriha ave janatmam. Translation: Sri Mitravinda said, "At my Swayamvara ceremony, he came forward, defeated all the kings present, including my brothers who dared insult him, and took me away just as a lion removes his prey from amidst a pack of dogs. Thus, Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, brought me to his capital city. May I be allowed to serve him by washing his feet, life after life." These are five queens of Krishna telling their stories, how they achieved their perfection of becoming the wife of Lord Krishna. I have, tell the story and then we act it out. I can't remember if we did it or not. Maybe not here. But Kalindi, this is she's actually the River Jamuna personified. And so the story, if you can remember, Krishna and Arjuna, the two Krishnas, because also Arjuna is known as Krishna, the two Krishnas decided that they wanted to go out in the forest and practice hunting. They were staying, Krishna was staying with the Pandavas. And this hunting was for the practice, for Arjuna to practice killing animals. Krishna, he's already self-sufficient. He knows how to do everything. He doesn't have to practice anything. So he just went along to watch Arjuna kill some animals, rhinoceroses and other animals like that. Some were used for sacrifice, others that of course got liberated. And so while they were there, Arjuna started getting thirsty and a little bit tired from all this activity, so they went to the River Jamuna and were drinking some water and glanced over and saw this beautiful young woman there on the bank of the Jamuna. And her teeth were glistening white and her beautiful smiling face. And Krishna saw her and mentioned to Arjuna, "Why don't you approach this young lady? She looks of marriageable age, with high raised breasts. Go and ask who she is." And so Arjuna very happily went over to ask this lady, "You're loitering here all by yourself. Maybe you're looking for a husband? Could be." And she says, "Actually, I'm the daughter of the sun god, and I've been here underneath the river. My father built me a house underneath the river, and I am doing penances and austerities to get Lord Vishnu, Krishna, as my husband. This is my only desire. And I happen to know that you are Arjuna, aren't you?" "Yes, I can tell with your strong figure and everything. Actually, I'm not interested in you," she was thinking. "Actually, I really would like you to go tell Krishna that of my desire. And I know that because you're so dear to him, that on your request, he will surely accept me. And so Arjuna said, yes, I will satisfy your desires as you like. So he went over and told Krishna of Kalindi's desires. And he said, of course, go. We'll go and take her. And so Krishna swept her up and put her on the chariot. And for the next few days, they had some business to do for King Yudhisthira. And after that, Krishna asked permission, may I please take my new lady back to Dwarka and have a big ceremony and marry her. And so that's what he did. Yudhisthira said, please. And so they went to Dwarka and had a big pomp and ceremony. And Kalindi became the queen of Lord Krishna. Mitravinda. So in the province of, which is today Ujjain, Avantipur, there was two great princesses there, Vinda and Anuvinda. This province at that time was under Duryodhana's rule. And these princes had a very beautiful sister, Mitravinda. So we have Vinda, Anuvinda, and Mitravinda. Sometimes they do that, and I don't know why, but it's kind of cute. Keep all the names the same in the family. And so she was very elegant personality, very beautiful, and very intelligent. And she also, within her heart, had the desire to have Lord Krishna as her husband. And so in these upper-class families, they would have big svayamvaras, and so Mitravinda was to choose her husband. There were many princes from all over, you can imagine, the kingdom, and he came wanting to win her hand in marriage. And Lord Krishna happened to be there, because, of course, Krishna knows the desires of everyone, even our bad desires. He knows those. We can't keep them. We can't hide them and cover them over thinking that he doesn't know them. But she had such a strong desire that he arrived there at the Swayamvara, and as we read here, I guess from the influence of Duryodhana's company and everything, he actually began to throw insults at Krishna, and the other princesses were not very nice. And so Krishna said, all right, whew, and he went and he grabbed up Mitravinda and took off. And all the princes were like, what do we do? And they didn't even put up a fight. They just didn't have any means of stopping Krishna. So they just, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, they just all looked at each other. I'm sure Mitravinda must have been holding her sides laughing. And so he swept her away and married her. But you can see that actually many women have a desire to be swept up by some heroic personality and taken away and married and protected. And so this is what Krishna actually did here. Actually, in this age, there's kind of far and few in between heroes of this stature. It's actually described that in the 12th canto, I believe, that as the age progresses, that the men will get kind of wimpy. And the different roles will kind of switch over, and they'll become actually more like females. So it's hard to find such a heroic person. But of course, Krishna filled that role very, very nicely. Some of the battles that he did to obtain these women were very exciting. We recently heard of some of the kidnappings and how he got some of the other wives and how he went in and got rid of Narikasura, took 16,000 wives just to fulfill their desires. So this strong desire is what this is showing here. Both Kalindi and Mitravinda had such a strong desire to have Krishna as their husband. That this is the most important thing that we should also be working on, it's what will capture Krishna. And we can see here that they actually perform some austerity by this desire it drove them to perform some penance, to prove to Krishna that I'll do anything. They gave up the comfort. Imagine living underwater in a house, and I don't know what the other, what Kalindi did, but performing austerity is very, very difficult. To prove their love and devotion and their determination. It became very strong by penances and austerities. You get strength to actually to take these vows. And therefore, Krishna could see, yes, these ladies are so much wanting to marry me. So this age, it's not so popular to perform austerities and penances to achieve something. We have a hard time just chanting 16 rounds and to come to Mangala Arati, great austerity. But a long time ago, the men would actually fight for their wives. This was their austerity, that they would sometimes give up their lives to get this woman. I was in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was on the Vyasan giving a class, and it was some battle going on again over a marriage. And Papa said, and he took his hand and went, yes, and they would take the blood and put it in the part of the woman and to show that they've won. And so they'd actually kill somebody and put the blood in the part of the lady and achieve them that way. And so he said, so you all are ready to do this? And everyone went, you know, forget it, you know, no way. So in this age, our hero is Lord Chaitanya, with his mercy, simply having to chant the holy names of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada also is our hero, capturing us and allowing us to do service to Lord Krishna. Of course, also the mercy of taking prasadam, that's also there. It's made so simple for us, but still, we make it such a difficult process. Lord Chaitanya does say that this chanting should be done in a very sincere way and try to giving up all those offenses, which make it even more difficult, trying to control our mind and of course becoming humble, like we heard yesterday, is sometimes the most difficult for many of us, to be able to chant those names with love and attention. Because this name also attracts Krishna. Doing this one austerity of chanting his name, for how many hours? You know, I can see this new devotee here. He's so intent on chanting. It's so wonderful to see. I'm sure that Radha is telling Krishna, look, here's a new devotee for you. He's so sincere in the chanting. So, but Krishna does hear the our chanting, so we should chant so attentively to attract his attention. This is our austerity, just simply chanting, going out late at night and chanting to the drunk people on the streets. This is our austerity. Going to the football game, you know, seeing the ridiculous, you know, people out there wasting their lives. That is our austerity. Because this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, trying to recapture the fallen souls. So this love that we should have, this strong desire to have this love for Krishna, unfortunately it is reposed on loving our bodies. And so therefore Srila Prabhupada had to start from ground zero on telling us how to do some little austerity to become less attached to our bodies. He gave us different things we could do, of course coming to the morning program and getting up early and fasting and so many different things he recommended so that we could begin to step off this bodily platform. Because love of the body, how are we going to love Krishna? How that desire is going to develop to the level of these queens if we're still on this bodily platform? So we learn how to live more simply, just do what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable, these simple things. He, of course, gives suggestions, but we also have to have that intelligence to see that this is not going to be favorable. It's going to spur that desire, that a crazy desire that has been, you know, hankering and haunting me for so many births. and death. We're full of them. And sometimes they rise up. So we have to be very careful to choose what to do and what not to do. It might mean not going somewhere or doing something that we might normally want to do. So this is very important. Of course, you know, it becomes a little mechanical sometimes. We, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, blah, 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 and do our service. But as I think we were reading this morning, that it is not a mechanical process. It actually has to develop into something that we have a taste for doing and that we choose to do. I know that Yogeshwar, he gave a nice suggestion that we might want to take up, is that to see how our desires are going along in Krishna consciousness, that you make your 6-month, and I think he said 2-year and 5-year list of what you would like to accomplish for Krishna, what your desires are to do with your life. And it's a reflection of these desires. Are they becoming stronger, like these queens? So strong that all we want is Krishna? So we might want to write those things down and see if it's becoming pointed just to satisfy Krishna and to satisfy our spiritual master. Because that's what it's going to take. The selfish desires have to be gradually faded out. And this can only be done by Krishna consciousness. And not by our own strength, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, we have to attract Srila Prabhupada's attention. And that's easy to do, because he's so attracted when we take up this mission of Lord Chaitanya and spread Krishna consciousness to everybody that we meet. And then we can see that the other desires go away. Myself and some ladies, we did a little marathon of book distribution last week, going out every day, and just in Gainesville, going store to store, and anyone that moved or walked around, we gave books to, and one lady hadn't been out for very much, actually. I don't think she'd ever really been out of book distribution. And she said, "Boy, yeah, I'm so fired up. But the minute I forget my purpose, the focus on serving Srila Prabhupada, then I think, oh, it's so difficult. But when I keep focused, then I see that desire to distribute books is so strong." So this is the key, is that we keep in mind the desires of our spiritual master. And then we'll see that our desires, they go away. I know that on Sankirtan, that if you're sick or you're bummed out for some reason or something, just go out and talk to people about Krishna. Then you completely forget what the problem was. Your health gets better, and you get blissed out, as they say. It raises your consciousness up. So this is the consciousness that these ladies had, because they were always just thinking about the Supreme Lord. And then, as we do that, then that love will develop, and it will become more spontaneous, these activities. The practice becomes actually a pleasure of serving Krishna. We can see here that at the end of each of these descriptions is that the queens are expressing their eternal desire. Here now they're in the palace, they're queens, they've got maid servants probably coming out their ears, they've got everything they could ever want, everything is being done for them, and they have Krishna as their husband. What more could you want? I want to eternally be a sweeper. How many of us would like to eternally clean houses? For Krishna? Really? Really? You'd be totally satisfied just doing that. That's great. Then I beg for your association. Yes, so this is the pure desire that we have to have. What is a sweeper? And somebody else wanted to just clean, and another one wanted to wash his feet. That's all they wanted to do. It's actually described in the spiritual world, there's nothing to clean because it's perfectly clean, but actually cleaning is a wonderful service. I love to clean. The very first thing I learned when I walked into the temple was, the more you clean Krishna's temple, the more you clean your heart. And you can actually feel that. Pramod and his daughter were helping me clean the barn floors and varnishing it to seal it. That, you could feel the dirt going away from your heart on your pressure washer, and that made it even easier. But so this cleaning has to keep going on. We have to keep cleaning. And of course, the Maha Mantra is doing that cleaning. And also serving the devotees. Here, Kalindi and Maitravinda, they just want to serve Krishna because he's the reservoir of all pleasure. They're getting the highest pleasure. And that's what we experience. Washing this temple room floor and washing the cow barn or whatever is giving us this higher pleasure. So much so that we will someday become convinced that yes, I could just do one simple little thing in the spiritual world and be totally satisfied. So we can practice that here, find some humble service to do and do it to the best of our ability and see that actually does satisfy us. So this desire has to be cultivated. And we get a lot of that cultivation by doing service with each other and hearing and discussing the Lord while we're doing service. I've been recently looking at a book. It's called Bhakti Ratnakar. It's a fantastic book. And it happens after Lord Chaitanya left the planet. And the devotees at that time, they were devastated. The villages were like lifeless. Everyone was just found crying in separation from the Lord. And their desires to even, you know, continue on with the mission were just like stopped, dead. And so this book describes how by a few devotees, especially Srinivasacharya, that they started to discuss, passings of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and go to these villages and take people on pilgrimage. And just by his association, they all became enlivened again. That desire to go out on the mission grew and grew. He would go and send devotees to like Jiva Goswami to become enlivened, also receive that encouragement to go on with Lord Chaitanya's mission. Of course, we know that wonderful story, but it's described very nicely in this book about the influence of the devotees on our little creeper. And that was when they organized the first Sankirtan party, first book distribution program with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Chai and also Shamananda, yes. And they took all the books, and of course the King Birambir, he sent out his dacoits, and they thought, oh yeah, this is a jewel. This is a wonderful, treasures here, and they took it back, and when the king just looked at the books, he got affected. Just the vibration and the light coming from the books, he knew that this was something special. And we see that on Sankirtan. Sometimes I know that I spread all the books out on the bar sometimes and go on the bar and people all come around and they just, wow, what are these, you know? They have a brilliance to them. What less the devotees behind them. So King Virandir said, I have to find out who is behind this, and surely this must be my guru. And then Srinivasacharya, Lord Chaitanya, gave him messages in a dream and told him where to go, and he went there and found out that the king was starting to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He was so influenced. And so Srinivasacharya went there, and just when he came in the room, just his golden effulgence, the king knew immediately, this must be my guru. So the influence of these devotees is so great. They become heroes. All of you can become heroes by capturing, the souls that have fallen away. So this is a mission that we should beg to be part of and take part in and receive that pleasure of becoming that hero for Srila Prabhupada. Also in this book, it described how Janava Mata, she also took up the mission to go all the way to Vrindavan and encourage the Goswamis to keep writing and keep writing to further increase everyone's desire. So this is what's necessary. We have to beg, borrow, steal, but get the association of the devotees that are fired up and have that strong desire to please Srila Prabhupada. And then we can see that we will also want to take up that mission. And you know, it also will increase our desire to chant the holy names more purely when you chant and hang out with people who are very sincere and dedicated to follow all the simple practices that Prabhupada gave us to help us to reach the goal. And here, these devotees, these queens, they reach their goal by performing some sincere austerity and penance, and with that very, very strong desire to have Krishna. So this should be our on our little papers, maybe on tomorrow night, that we want to give to the deities. We can write down that, please, you know, help me have that strong desire in this next year, and engage me very nicely in this heroic mission of Srila Prabhupada. So does anyone have any other comments or stories? Pran Govinda wants to tell us what he's going to write on that paper tomorrow night. Yes. What is your desire for the next year to serve Srila Prabhupada?
Your blessing.
For what it's worth.
Thank you. I was just, because yesterday Adigatha Prabhu made one inquiry. So I thought you brought other two queens, so I wanted to just give one brief explanation in 1 minute. That the Balaram, when he threatened, or maybe that's not proper. Yeah, is it threatened to Jamuna? You said threatened? Okay, threatened Jamuna. But that Jamuna is not a wife of Krishna. So that has to be understood, that in a deep separation, Rupa Goswami Pad writes, then Srimati Radharani, when he fell, due to extreme separation, fell in the Jamuna, that form, Radha always stays in Vrindavan, that form that fell or found by the Jamuna Devi, gave to sun god, that was Satyabhama. Vishakha Devi also felt in extreme pain for Krishna, for Radharani, and that form was floating, that transformed that Kalindi. So Krishna married that person. Now the wife of the ocean, Sagar Patni, that was the Jamuna whom Balaram threatened, that if you don't come, I'll make into 100 pieces or spear into 100 pieces.
What about the ocean?
The wife of ocean.
The Sagar wife Patni, of the ocean.
They both are in one body, it's called Jamuna. Okay. It's in the Raghunath Das Goswami's Manoshiksha. He made that prayer.
Okay.
It's not the same person, just as you just mentioned. But they have same name. That's the thing.
Yes.
Okay. we heard from Bhakti Josh yesterday. This is, we're talking about Sankirtan and being in the fire. And all of us who know Bhakti Josh here in Alacha remember this very humble, shy, sort of quiet devotee. And it just so happened yesterday, both times I flipped onto Facebook, there happened to be a video from New York with Bhakti Josh in it. And anybody who thought they knew Bhakti Josh, they don't know Bhakti Josh. The first one I saw, he was distributing a book. Hey, yo, and he was doing all this cool jive stuff. It's like, whoa, this is Bhakti Josh. He was so smooth, and you know, right? You've seen him. He's fired up. So, and the other one, he was chanting, and not this quiet kind of, you know, shy guy, but that he was actually almost leading the kirtan and Hari Nam in Times Square. So being in the fire gives us such a taste that it actually changes your personality, brings out your real personality. So that's like you were saying, like if you remember why you're doing these things, it changes your personality. So when you were talking about this Hari Nams that are coming, there's a couple of them happening. For all those who are in the fire, then this will just be a next stage. You keep going and doing these things. For those that have sort of forgotten the fire, this Hari Nam is a way to rekindle that, like a little refresher course. So, you know, we tend to forget, especially devotees who've been around for a while, we think, oh, Harinam, you know, been there, done that. But if you actually get out there and start tasting the holy name and giving it to others, you're remembering why are you doing this, because you want to give it to others. You can go to places like the football game where there's going to be close to 90,000 people, and you can give them that holy name. It's such a wonderful opportunity to turn the quiet, shy, just doing our own thing devotee into the Bhakta Joshes of the world, the ones that are jumping around and really feeling it. So this is a wonderful opportunity. So take advantage of it.
I just was on Sangirtan yesterday, and I met this man, and when I handed him the Bhagavad Gita, he grabbed the Gita and said, oh, Hare Krishna, and he hugged the Gita to his heart, and he said, I love Krishna. Surprise, because usually that doesn't happen when you hand somebody. And I said, what? And he said, I'm from Australia, and he said, 20 years ago, I was really down on my luck, and someone said, if you go to this place every Thursday night, and if you sit and listen to them speak, then they have a feast. And he said they came around. He said he listened after the class. They came around with plastic buckets, and they all sat on the floor. And he said from out of those buckets came the most delicious food that he had ever had. And he was so happy, and he gave me $20. He was just so happy to meet me, and I gave him the mantra. And it's just that this guy just went to the temple and ate prasadam, and now he loves Krishna. So this is the opportunity.
I wanted to recite two verses, if it's okay, which relate pastimes from this section of the Bhagavatam. The first one is about the appearance of Satyabhama, which is the Shyamantaka jewel story. And the other one is about Sudama Brahman. And it's an old Irish folk melody. And then two Maha Mantras afterwards, to complete the tune, and it's okay to join in with the Maha Mantras. Now the Shaman Taka Jewel had bewildered Satyajit, so when Krishna said surrender it, he nearly threw a fit. But then he lost his precious gem and lost his pride as well. And Krishna battled Jambavan, the rumors to dispel. Then Krishna reappeared with Jambavati on his arm, and later Satyajit defeated the Lord with Satyabhan. Then Krishna killed the wicked Shatadandra with his disc. The foolish rascal never thought to calculate the risk. Now the Brahmin named Sudama was so poor, his wife complained, if anyone comes to visit us, I only feel ashamed. Why don't you go to Krishna? He's your friend, I beg you, please. So bundling up some rice, he left his patni to appease. When Krishna saw his Brahmin friend, he sat him upon the bed, and they talked so much, Sudama forgot that he was underfed. Then Krishna kindly took the gift and sent him on his way. And when he found his home so opulent, he didn't know what to say. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
How about coming to Mr. Vinda? You know, songs for them? Next two wives. Pavitra?
Hold on. In the beginning of class, you mentioned that Arjuna can be referred to as Krishna.
Krishna, along and Draupadi also.
If you can explain that.
I can't explain it. That's what it said in the Krishna book.
Okay.
I guess because they're so much all like each other.
Okay. And my second question is, well, not really a question. To some it may seem odd. Can you explain why, what the purpose of was Arjuna and Krishna were killing rhinoceroses and such?
It was for practice. The Kshatriyas actually had a license to practice on animals that, especially in the forest, the ones that hinder that actually go after the sages and saints that used to live there. And so they were allowed to practice on those animals. And that some that were used for sacrifices, they would be taken for sacrifice. So those two reasons.
Okay.
Even today we see that in villages you hear of tigers coming in and, you know, grabbing somebody. There was a guy on a boat fishing and the tiger came in, just took a bite off the boat and right in front of the daughter. So you can imagine a long time ago when there was a lot of tigers, so, and things like that. So they would practice.
And the fate of these animals were liberation.
Yeah, when they were sacrificed, and otherwise, I guess, I don't know, if they were killed by a pretty powerful personality, Arjuna.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? Get a new body. Yeah. Not for sport, like they do now. Okay, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.